Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in James 5:9 titled, Grudge Not. You can send email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can write to us at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. If you send any check or money order donations, please make those out to Bible Believers Fellowship. You can also contact us and donate by visiting bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update and then our study in James chapter 5, verse 9, titled Grudge Not. This is part 1 of 2. But first, our current events update. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, the vaccine cult continues their human rights abuses. Some here have been feeling the heat. A couple of others who are onliners or people who just live too far to drive all the time up here have been going through the same thing.
Pretty simple. The decision to be vaccinated.
I want to preface this before we watch it. These are conservatives, and I believe all Republicans, who are going to be doing everything they can to stop President Biden.
This is pretty simple. The decision to be vaccinated should be up to the individual and not to the government.
I want the president to know that we are going to use every tool in our toolbox, every arrow in our quiver to stop Joe Biden's unlawful vaccine mandate.
Remember the 9th, President Biden stepped up and announced to the nation that he's losing patience with the country, and so he demanded that everyone steps up and gets the vaccine and laid a mandate down. This is not the United States of America that we all know and love, where individuals have personal responsibility and personal freedoms. We live and die by our own decisions on what we do with our own lives and with our own future, and this president is saying, no, you don't. You're going to live by my decisions. That's not who we are.
And in order to push this socialist agenda, this government control of health care, what do? A one-size-fits-all vaccine mandate that says, if you don't get the jab, Joe Biden is going to get you fired from your job. And that's the message that they're sending, that the vaccine and getting a shot is more important than you being able to provide for your family.
The president's action on this vaccine mandate, they are unprecedented. And almost certainly, in my view, amount to unconstitutional overreach. The idea that one man, the president of the United States, can force Americans to choose between getting a vaccine or keeping their job and putting food on the table for their family undermines literally all principles of liberty found in our Constitution. To all business leaders and others in positions of authority, like police chiefs, who are subject to this unconstitutional edict, we ask that you hold off from firing your employees, your loyal employees, who helped our nation get through this pandemic. Wait until the numerous lawsuits against this federal vaccine mandate have been resolved.
There you go.
That's right.
And I'm sure that the newly elected 15th District Ohio Congressman Mike Carey will be joining them.
Yeah.
And if not, but I believe he will. He said he would.
He said he did last night.
Yeah. The pro-vax mandate congressmen are two-faced, backstabbing hypocrites.
Amen.
And I'm not just saying that to be, inflammatory. They literally are two-faced, backstabbing hypocrites. I like this meme. It says, any government body that mandates something on the public that they all exempt themselves from can never be trusted. Folks, I do not call for violence, but I'm telling you, I can't believe that there wouldn't be violence over this. Congress is going to tell you to shut up and take the shot. Meanwhile, we won't. Not in a free country.
If that happens, we're a bunch of slaves. We just need to stop calling ourselves the land of the free and home of the brave. We're the land of the slaves and the home of the cowards. But this recommended source of information, Cheryl Adkinson's website. She used to work for the news media, and she'll tell you, she'll be the first one to tell you they're a bunch of liars and a bunch of propagandists. So she started her own thing. And she reports that Mayo Clinic is now threatening to fire 8,000 employees over their own vaccine mandate. 8,000 employees. COVID vaccine mandates are a crime against humanity. If these COVID vaccine mandates are pushed on people, and I believe they already have been to some extent, at some point, those doing it should be arrested and tried for crimes against humanity, just like Nuremberg. And we need more conservatives and men that say they're preachers, men who claim to not be all about this world, men who claim to believe that their reward is in the world to come, who are afraid to lose what they have in this world, calling themselves pastors. We need them to stand up and say, listen, I'm not going along with this. And we need to make it clear to these politicians, you are going to go in front of a court, a trial by jury for these crimes against humanity. Amen. Meanwhile, Iowa's pro-vax governor, she's pro-vaccination, but she's doing the right thing. Kim Reynolds. She signed a bipartisan vaccine mandate bill into law. And this is from the governor. Governor Kim Reynolds released the following statement Friday after signing the bipartisan vaccine mandate bill, HF 902. I am proud to sign this bipartisan piece of legislation today. This is a major step forward in protecting Iowans' freedoms and their abilities to make health care decisions based on what's best for themselves and their families.
Good.
This legislation also gives employees the assurance that they will still receive unemployment benefits despite being fired for standing up for their beliefs.
Amen.
As I've stated publicly numerous times, this is Kim Reynolds speaking, I believe the vaccine is the best defense against COVID-19. And we've provided Iowans with the information they need to determine what's best for themselves and their families. But no Iowan should be forced to lose their job or livelihood over the COVID-19 vaccine.
Amen.
This is only the first step. We will be taking other legal actions against the Biden administration's vaccine mandate.
Good
for her. Too bad we don't have a governor like that. And we have a legislature that is they're double-tongued, and they are holding up the bill. It's HB 248, is that what it was? It's been a few weeks since I looked at it, but there's a bill to do the same thing here in Ohio, and it's being held up in committee. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
Amen.
Number two, the COVID is real, but the pandemic is not. That's what we want to emphasize in our information we give to everybody. COVID is real. It's a real man-made manipulated virus released from a lab in China. And Fauci and other Americans played a part in it. But it's not to the level of a pandemic. That's where they're being dishonest about this whole thing. Here's just one. We could do this all night. I'll show them off and on as I get them. But this is what you call cameras on, then cameras off. You're going to see a handful of world leaders. This is how they show up whenever the cameras are being clicked. And that's what they do when the cameras are turned off. That's not the point. I mean, they are... These are some of the worst people in the world as far as the mask mandates are concerned. playing games and acting like they're wearing a mask when really they're not.
Yeah.
Let's watch that again. Yeah, that's the point. They are not worried about getting COVID-19. Why? Because if they get it, they'll take those monoclonal antibodies or ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or whatever, and they'll do everything that they don't want you to do. That's why I just have to say it. I don't want to believe this, but I believe we're in the end times, and so it doesn't surprise me that I'm kind of forced by the evidence to believe that they're trying to kill you. But the main point is money. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's a scam intended to control you and make billions off of you and your families. They know good and well that the infection rate of the vaccinated is higher than that of the unvaccinated. The vaccine doesn't protect you. And they want to now get 60 million American kids vaccinated. Even though there's a 99.something% survival rate. It's essentially 100%, and even as far as getting really sick, they don't even get very sick in all but a few cases. So why would they do that? Because they're making money off of us. We're a bunch of sheep to them. I got this from CNN, just so you know. I didn't go to some right-wing website. There's the real point of the COVID plandemic. COVID vaccine profits have now produced 9 new pharma billionaires. That's what it's all about. Just like that. And that doesn't count the millions of people involved in this, including politicians like Joe Biden, whose pockets are being lined. Proverbs 12:6 says, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." And finally, number 3, I just thought I'd show you this. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred was booed by Braves fans last night. If you didn't see it live, you won't see it on the network news. But if you saw it live, you saw it there, but it is out there on the internet. This is from Blaze Media. Victorious Braves fans mercilessly boo MLB commissioner who took All-Star Game out of Georgia after he starts speaking at World Series trophy presentation.
Joe, thank you very much. The commissioner, Rob Manfred, is here. And I look out to a sea of Braves fans. And let me introduce who's on the podium with us. Terry McGuirk, the chairman of the Atlanta Braves, Derek Schiller, president and CEO, Brian Snicker, the manager, and the rest of the world champion, Atlanta Braves!
After a great 2021 season and a dramatic postseason, it's my honor and pleasure to present the Commissioner's Trophy to the World Series champion, Atlanta Braves, and their CEO, Terry McGuirk.
Hear the difference? So, the reason Manfred got woke in April and he pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta over Georgia's new voting law. At the time, Manfred said that it was, quote, the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport. That pro baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions at the ballot box. And that, quote, fair access to voting continues to have our game's unwavering support, end quote. The reality is that that man Manfred is a liar. Number one, he was opposing election integrity. The Georgia voting law was for the purpose of making sure that the votes cast were legitimate. And he was supporting cheaters. And because he is a libtard, Democrat, communist, and that's how communists work. They take your elections away from the people. Hey, they always had, they had elections in the Soviet Union. And they ran them the same way the Democrats do. Yeah, they always do. Saddam Hussein, man, he won landslide elections every couple of years, 99% to 1 or something like that. Because the communists don't care how you vote. They only care who counts the votes. And that's how they win. Now, in America, they still have to get a certain number of votes in order to be able to cheat and win. But that's what the game plan is. And Manfred, he is a liar. Liberals lie. It's what communists do. I'll say it again. Liberals lie. It's what communists do. And those of us who are standing up and pointing the finger to these people, we are the best friend of anybody who loves freedom. And anybody not telling the truth about the Democrat Communist Party and their rhino neocon enablers in the Republican Party and others, like the fake news media, the globalist news media, propaganda machine, all that, people, preachers who aren't telling their people about that, they are your enemy. They are the very people that helped people like Adolf Hitler take over those countries. The silent but deadly. All right, James 5:9. Grudge not. James is going to remind us that if we believe Jesus' return is very soon, as we were just discussing, it should affect how we live. It's really troubling to me when I come across somebody who's really into Bible prophecy, but then they live like the devil. Something wrong with that picture, because if you really believe that Jesus could come at any moment, that has a purifying effect on you. You realize at any moment, I don't want to be caught living in sin and being involved in things I shouldn't be. And so that's what we're going to look at here in verse 9. If you're there, read that with me. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Amen?
Amen.
That last phrase is just quite a picture. To grudge is human. To really foul things up still just takes a human. That's a play on a phrase about computers. Some of you recognize that.
Yes.
But we don't believe in victimology. We don't believe in the devil made me do it theology. That was Flip Wilson, wasn't the Apostle Paul? Amen? Some of you old enough know what I'm talking about. The devil made me do it. Well, I'm not old enough to know, but I saw the reruns, just so you know. But how many people do you know like that they just never want to take responsibility? It's always somebody else's fault and that sort of thing. And really, that's what develops into a grudge, an attitude of, you know, that kind of attitude anyway. And people all too often hold a grudge. And it's wrong. Well, what's a grudge? Well, we'll see in just a second. The Lord has pointed this out since the time of Moses, by the way. Scripture was scripture. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 19, if you want to turn there.
I was there today.
It's a nice place to visit.
I was trying to think of it.
You're probably an 18 from the conversation you had. Next door neighbor. But God knew that his children would be childish. Charlie, are you shocked whenever your child acts childish?
Nope.
Jenny, are you shocked when your child acts childish? But guess what? God's not shocked either. His children act childish, and he deals with a lot. Look at verses 17, 18 in Leviticus 19. Verse 17 says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart, thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy brother and not suffer sin upon him. See, before you go there, look, it says not to hate your brother. And if you love your brother, you will rebuke him if you see him in sin. Now, rebuke doesn't mean scream and yell at him and throw things. It just means you confront him and say, listen, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. If you love somebody, what do?
Tell the truth.
Yeah. That's what you do when you love somebody. You don't go around picking fights over nothing, stupid things. But if you see somebody you love, it's in sin. If you love them, you lovingly confront them. And then verse 18, we're further told, read that with me. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So God knows and has dealt with this issue of grudges right from the start there. In reality, we don't have time to run all the different examples, but Cain and Abel is an example of that. A grudge is rooted in discontentment. Say that word with me. Discontentment. I have seen probably as much personal trouble in an individual's walk with the Lord and relationships one with another, whether in church or in home and family, marriages, friendships, whatever, as a result of discontentment. Noah Webster's dictionary says that to grudge, transitive verb, means to be discontented at another's enjoyments or advantages, to envy one the possession or happiness which we desire for ourselves.
She just makes me sick. She's so happy.
Yeah. I know, I've seen that many times. And guys who see another guy who had back in high school they hadn't so much. One of our friends, you know, we all friends, but man, you know. And one of them would have a girl and they'd be getting along great. And the other guy couldn't find a girl he liked the ones he liked didn't like him or whatever. And next thing you know, they'd be at each other's throats and they weren't friends anymore. That's when it all started, and I've seen it ever since. And I've seen it in churches. We've had people come to churches that I've been in and Bible Believers Fellowship. I've had people come here and they really had it in for me, because they wouldn't do what needed to be done to have a ministry. But they didn't like the fact that I was a pastor of a church and we were doing this and doing that. And he saw that, you know, things were happening. We had a family that loved each other and worked together. And we had the missionary wall. Jessica was talking about that just a little while ago, different missions that we support and the outreach of the radio and the internet and all that. And they know good and well I couldn't do that on my own. And they won't do what needs to be done, but they want to then come and tear you down. And that happens a lot in ministry. A lot. But it also happens to, I'm sure some of you here could tell your stories. And those who hold a grudge usually say, it's not fair. It's not fair. Ask them to show you where it is written that life shall be fair. It's not in the book. It's not written anywhere. And you think life hasn't been fair to you? I like what a preacher said many years ago to me. He said, if you think life hasn't been fair to you, you need to go to the Children's Hospital burn unit. And there are many other places, the cancer unit, the little kids, and then young, you know, all the way up through teenagers in that hospital with leukemia and those kind of cancers. That's when you find out life isn't fair. Yeah, well, it's even more unfair to most people than it is to anybody in this room, probably. I want to read these three texts about being content. And I'm going to ask Charlie to to look up Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And then we'll pick on Mary over there for 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. And Doug, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I'm going to start with that. Being content in this life demonstrates our hope being in the next. Just as an FYI, if you're trying to witness to somebody, but you are so caught up in this world, so you can't, there are professing Christians who just can't enjoy life, they have no joy, and it's all because of this life, then it falls on deaf ears when you try to tell them that you're looking forward to heaven.